course, that is produced by the South End Church of Christ. They meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard, and they are a friendly group of people who are standing for the truth. They would love for you to come out and visit with them. They have services every Lord's Day at 9:30 for Bible study, and then they also have a worship service following that and another worship service at 5 o'clock every Sunday evening. They also have Bible study on Wednesday at 7:30. In those Bible studies, they have classes for all ages. Why not come out and be with the South End Church of Christ? Again, they are the ones providing this good radio program for you, and they are brethren who stand for the truth and are very friendly and would be just thrilled to death if you would come and check them out. 4001 Taylor Boulevard is where they are located. Again, Aaron Earhart is out of town, and my name is Don Wright. I preach for the West End Church of Christ, and I'm thrilled to be able to stand, sit in his stead. But I'm not alone today. We have a good friend who now resides in Denver, Colorado, and his name is Chris Peltz. He's not a stranger to this program, been on many times before. Chris, it's good to have you with us.
Thanks a lot, Don. Good to be on with you and looking forward to the program.
Thank you, thank you. And appreciate your good commitment to working in the kingdom of God to take the time to be with us on Bible Talk here this afternoon. Of course, those of you who are familiar with this program and listen regularly know that we have not only Bible Talk today, but at 2:30, more Bible Talk will be brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. And Chris is kind enough to commit himself to both programs, and so he'll be with me for the entire hour, and we appreciate that very much. This is a live program, and if you have a Bible question, you need to call 571-1240. That is the number that you can call if you have a Bible question. We'll do our very best to give you a Bible answer. Remember, this is the program where truth is taught and questions are answered. And so if you have a Bible question, then we'll do our very best to help you out. 571-1240 is the number that you need to call. On yesterday, Chris, we talked a little bit about Bible authority. And we were discussing particularly the time when Jesus was confronted in Matthew chapter 21 by some chief priests and some elders and asked him by what authority he was doing the things that he was doing. And he sort of turned it around on them and asked them a question. He said he'd answer them if they would answer him. And he brought up the baptism of John. He said, is that from heaven, John's baptism, or from man? Of course, they refused to answer that. They knew that they had been had. No matter how they'd answer that, they'd get themselves in a little trouble. And so they refused to answer his question. But the fact of the matter is, their original question was a good one. By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus, in asking them whether the baptism of John was from heaven or from men, he's basically going in the same direction and asking them the authority behind that. And so we were emphasizing yesterday how important it is to have Bible authority for what we do. And we even had an occasion, due to some calls, to bring up some illustrations and examples that point out how important it is to have Bible authority. One good caller called and asked about Uzzah, the situation with the Ark of the Covenant as they were transporting that on an ox. And it seems to a lot of people that God was a little bit unfair with Uzzah. After all, the ox stumbled, as you recall that story, and it looked like the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall off and crash and be destroyed. And so Uzzah, just out of reaction, reached up and stopped it from falling. But in doing that, he did what God had forbade the Israelites from doing, and that is touching that sacred piece of furniture. And so, of course, he died on the spot. And it just goes, Chris, to emphasize the fact that God says what he means, and he means what he says, regardless of the situation or the circumstances. When we do what God forbids us to do, we're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely, and that is so vital for us to understand. You know, the Old Testament being written there for our understanding, for our learning, and one of the things that we learn about, and one of the great things about the inspired text, is it teaches us who God really is. Not just that he exists, but it teaches us who he is and what he expects of us and what he really has always expected of us all the way back to creation. And, you know, with Uzzah, that's a perfect example, you know, that God certainly when he speaks, when he says something, he means it. And Jesus continued that teaching. You were in Matthew 21, but going back to Matthew 15, you know, talking about there, they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.
That's right.
And so their worship was in vain. And even prior to that, in Matthew 7, verse 21, there were those coming to him saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? And he stated to them, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so there we see that standard being looked to and always directing people back to that one standard, because there it removes all questions.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And so many examples of that, how important it is to stick with the Word of God. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes, Brother Don. I got a question. And maybe you've already touched on it before in the past shows. But as far as singing and musical instruments, I noticed you used the example about how God commanded Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood.
Yes.
But it didn't matter what aids he used, such as if he used a claw hammer, ball peen hammer, mallet, it didn't matter as long as he did the gopher wood.
Yes.
So does that not apply to singing also? As long as you sing, it doesn't matter what aids you use, such as organ, piano, drums.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I hang up and listen, sir.
Okay, be glad to talk about that. And the difference being in those things, and it's very important that we do understand the difference here. It's basically a difference between using an aid that helps you to fulfill a command and going beyond the command and doing something different than what is commanded. And so in order for an aid to be right, it has to first be lawful. There has to be a commandment behind it. When it came down to Noah's ark, he was commanded to build the ark, and so the hammer or the nail or whatever kind of tools he had back in those days were just aids to fulfill the command. Now, when it comes down to musical instruments, what we have to understand is that that is a different kind of music than what was authorized by God. He specified the kind of music that he wants when he says, through inspired men in the New Testament, sing. And he says it several times. There are several passages where we're commanded to sing. But I think one thing, Chris, that some people fail to understand is that playing music with a musical instrument, that is indeed a different kind of music. Singing is a kind of music. And playing on a musical instrument produces a different kind of music. So once God specified sing, that excluded every other kind of music. And so musical instruments go beyond an aid. It's a different sort. It's a different kind, and therefore becomes sinful, just like if Noah would have used oak instead of gopher. And so we have to understand then the nature of an aid. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. You know, there's an aid and then there's an addition. And, you know, an aid helps us to sing. For example, like a songbook, having the words so that people can fulfill the command to sing. That's what an aid does. It helps you to fulfill the command. And the command from Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, from Hebrews 13 and other places where in the midst of the church we sing. There, when it talks about to sing, well, there are aids that help us to sing, but then there's additions, and additions go beyond the Word of God. They're not authorized, and playing mechanical instruments would certainly be an addition to the singing, not an aid in helping us to fulfill the command to sing. For example, even that we're specified what songs we're to sing. We're to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there he even gets even more specific as to what is to be sung and where even the melody is to be made. The melody is to be made in our hearts.
Yes.
And so he's very specific in all of that. And mechanical instruments, organs, those are in addition to, not an aid for.
That's exactly right, Chris. And listen, it doesn't matter that it may be true. It might be argued that a musical instrument can aid in singing. I wouldn't deny that, but that doesn't matter. It's still a different kind of music. Noah could have made the argument, well, if I use redwood, that's easier to use than gopher, so it will aid me in building the ark. No, that's a different kind of wood. So don't get confused with the fact, well, I think a piano will aid me, maybe, but it's still a different kind of music. Therefore, it is unauthorized, and it goes against what God has specifically commanded. And so we must understand the difference between going beyond a command and using an aid to help us fulfill an established command. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yeah, I have a question for you, but before I ask the question, what you were saying just now kind of made me think of something. It seems to me that you're using the analogy of Noah using gopher wood. It seems to me the reason that Noah couldn't have used oak or some other kind of wood is because using a different wood would prevent him from using gopher wood. He couldn't use oak and gopher to build the same part of the ark. Where it seems like if you play music, playing musical instruments doesn't prevent you from singing. And so I think your analogy is wrong and doesn't match up there. But then second, I wonder if you could explain the difference between using a piano and using a pitch pipe.
Yeah, I'd be glad to deal with both of those things. And appreciate your call. And let me follow up with this question. Would it have been okay? So you're saying it would be wrong if he replaced the gopher wood for oak wood, but would it have been all right if he built half of the ark with gopher wood and the other half with oak wood? Or would it have been all right if he built almost the entire ark with gopher wood, but just one little side he used oak or redwood? Would that have been all right? I would submit to you that it would be wrong for him to do that, and that ark would not have survived if he did that. And I think you would even admit that that is the case. And so the analogy still stands. I don't think you would follow your own example with regard to that. Number two, with regard to the pitch pipe in the musical instrument, what's wrong is using a musical instrument to worship and praise God with. If you were going to use a pitch pipe in order to worship God, then it would be just as wrong as a piano or a drum set or a guitar or whatever it was. There's not anybody I know of, certainly not any Church of Christ that I am aware of, that uses the pitch pipe in order to praise God. What happens when someone uses a pitch pipe is that he blows on the pitch to get the tune, which is, again, using it just as an aid, and then he sets it down, and then they go about worshiping God. And so they're not playing the pitch pipe with regard to praising God. What if you occupied rented a building that happened to have a piano in it, and you walked over to get a pitch, you hit the piano just to get the pitch, and then you left it alone? There'd be no difference. I think some people, Chris, get a misunderstanding of our view towards musical instruments. We don't think they're inherently sinful. We're simply saying you cannot use them in your worship and praise of God. And nobody that I know of uses the pitch pipe for that. Do you know anyone who does that, Chris?
No, absolutely not. I certainly don't. And because there's that understanding is there. I mean, that's just as you laid out very well. And I think the caller as well, it's interesting. He pointed out that to use another type of wood, you'd have to replace the gopher wood, which he would, from what I understood him to be saying, he understands is wrong. But then he goes on to make the distinction between singing and playing.
Yes.
And saying that, you know, you can play and still sing, but here's the thing, all right? Why do we sing? Because that's what God commanded. Why don't we play? Because the scriptures are silent. He didn't tell us to play. He doesn't authorize playing. And so even in the, as you've pointed out, and I think what he just did is also confirm what you said, Don, that singing is a different type of music than playing.
That's right.
And so that there he showed himself in that distinction, that playing. Sure, you can still sing and you can play, but understand this as well. Everyone is commanded to sing psalms and hymns and praises to our Heavenly Father. Everyone is commanded to do that, and no one is ever commanded to play a mechanical instrument.
That's right. And they're just, you know, at the end of the day, there's no Bible example of it in the New Testament. The church didn't use it in the Testament. Our plea from the start on this particular subject is that let's just do what they did in the first century church. If it was good enough for Peter and Paul and James and John and all of the other first century Christians, then why isn't it good enough for us? I think we have to search our hearts and come to a conclusion of who it is that we're trying to please. Are we trying to please God? If that's the case, why not do it just like they did it in the first century? Weren't they pleasing to God? Of course they are. Or are we really doing it to please ourselves because we like it? Because the one thing I know, you couldn't say, even if you disagree with what we're saying, you couldn't say in your heart, I know God wants me to use the musical instrument. You can't say that because God never told you that. It's a guess on your part. And it is a very dangerous guess because, again, God has specified what he wants. Why not just do what he has specified? Chris, we may have to get in a little bit of Bible authority and breaking it down and talk about specific authority and generic authority and what all that means and the silence of the scriptures. That might be a useful discussion. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yeah, I disagree with the last caller. Here, I got an eighth grade education and can understand when God said, use gopher wood, and that's it. And about the music instrument, sing, and make a melody in your heart. And sometimes we don't want to let go of things as things, and we want to try to make it so, because we want it so to please ourselves. Well, I ain't going to say he's like it, but a lot of people, some people really don't understand. I keep on breaking it down to them. But here I am with eighth grade education, can understand that without no questions back. I don't understand why some people got better education, but some people, sometimes we get hard-headed and stubborn and want to keep hold to what we've been raised up and been taught.
Yeah, tradition. I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition is a powerful thing sometimes. And again, we just have to decide whether or not. One thing, Chris, it really gets down back to this idea of authority. While we weren't going down and weren't planning to talk about musical instruments on this program today, it is related to this issue of Bible authority and how you establish a Bible authority. I do not believe that people who use the musical instruments are all insincere and out there just doing their own thing and they don't care at all about what God thinks. What I believe is just a misunderstanding of how you establish Bible authority. And I think if we can break that down just a little bit, if we have time, calls are coming in. But if we have time, we'll look at that a little bit because it's very important. Some people are worshiping God sincerely, but they're worshiping God sincerely wrong. And that won't help you. We need, just like the case with Uzzah, it doesn't matter how sincere Uzzah was when he reached up and stopped that thing from falling off. He still died, didn't he? We have to make sure that what we're doing is right and authorized and keeping with the book. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
How you doing today?
Doing real fine.
Brother Wright, it's good to hear you as usual.
Good to hear you.
I've gone back through my Bible and I've been studying.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring up those two passages again because I'm confused about this. In Psalms, the 147th chapter, it says in verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. Now, according to this passage, I know it's the Old Testament, but according to this passage, it says sing praises to our God on the lyre, not with it, on it. So that's saying that, from what I can read, that you can sing with an instrument. And then I turn over to Revelation, which I know is a vision. We've talked about this before. But we also know in heaven there is no sin. There is no evil. Nothing like that exists around our God. And so, therefore, in Revelation 6, the scene in heaven, the scene about the taking of the book and the opening of the seals and the angels exalting the Lamb, it says, when he, this is Jesus, had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp. Now, it does not say that this is a literal harp. It does not say whether, you know, it is figurative, but it does go on to say golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So we know the golden bowls of incense are the prayers. But if there is no evil in heaven, and we consider using of instrumental musics to praise God and to sing songs to be a wrong thing, then why in this vision of heaven would there be harps around the very throne of God?
All right, very quickly, and I'll let you go. Give me the passage in Revelation again.
Revelations chapter 6, verses 8 and 9.
Okay. Now, and let me just ask you this just for a quick clarification.
Okay.
Because I kind of defended you last time, and I want to make sure I was right. You're not advocating the use of musical instruments in the church.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. No, I'm not advocating that. But I'm also saying you've already been talking today about traditions. In my mind, you know, God has not forbade this. He did say to sing. Now, I've showed you one example already of singing with an instrument.
Even in the church, you would have problems.
Secondly, if God does not call it sin, then I think we as his creation cannot call it sin. We can say it is better and safer not to use it.
Okay, I got you.
Because we do not have a, you know, what you would call a command.
We can talk about that.
Okay, I got you. I got you. We'll talk about the things you've brought up.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. And that was a friend of mine, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I think I may have misunderstood what you said the first time you called. I was thinking, Chris, that he took the position that you could use the musical instrument in the privacy of your own home to worship God, but not in the church. And that may have been my mistake. Listen, the passage in Psalms, it is an Old Testament passage. You brought it up yourself, and I know you acknowledge that. But it's an Old Testament passage for which we are now under a different law. It doesn't matter that they could sing or use the musical instrument, rather, under the Old Testament law. We're not under that law, and that makes a serious difference. So far as the idea of them having musical instruments in heaven, I think you answered that for yourself. When you talked about the bowls, you admitted that was figurative. It referred to the prayers of the saints. And if that's figurative, why wouldn't the musical instruments, the harps under consideration, be figurative as well? But even that isn't the point. We're not saying that musical instruments are sinful. So certainly there wouldn't be any sin in heaven. If they have musical instruments in heaven, it's not sinful, because if they do, God hasn't forbade it in heaven. But in the church, God specified what he wanted, and therefore to go beyond that is sinful. Why? Because it's the law. Someone said yesterday, Chris, about the Ark of the Covenant, that some of the other nations that, you know, the Philistines and things took the Ark of the Covenant, they could touch it and nothing happened to them. And I was making the point, that's because they weren't under that law. The law was for the Israelites not to touch it. And when they violated that law, then it became sin. And that's the case with musical instruments. If you want to argue that they have musical instruments in heaven, then it's not unauthorized. But in the church, it is, because God specified what he wanted, and to go beyond what he specifies then becomes sinful. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you think about, take the incense, for example. You know, we do not burn incense in our worship to God in the church today. That's not something we do. Is burning incense, the act in and of itself, a sin? No. Just like grabbing a guitar, sitting at a piano, playing in and of itself is not a sin. However, for the church to engage in those things, to praise and worship God, it violates his word. That is not what God said he wanted us to do when it comes to our worship to him. You know, it's interesting as well. You know, when you talk about our worship, and if God doesn't say that it is sin, I think he said, then we can't say that it is sin. And that's not true. That's not true at all, because, you know, God has told us, and this gets back to authority, going back to what the book of Hebrews. Remember, Jesus could not be a high priest under the old law. First of all, he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. Second of all, he wasn't a descendant of Aaron. Here he is a descendant of of Judah. He's from the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David. And so by necessity, there had to be a change of the law because the old law said nothing. And that's the huge point. It said nothing. So was it a sin? Remember Uzziah? He went into the temple being a descendant from the tribe of Judah to burn or incense to worship God in the temple, and he wasn't a Levite, and he was struck with leprosy because he was in sin. But yet the scriptures didn't say that if you're from Judah, it is sin for you to go in. But nevertheless, we understand that it was sin because God said that he wanted the Levites to do that. And one other passage I'll point out in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Samuel came to King Saul after he had sinned against God, he said to obey is better than sacrifice.
Right.
And I think a lot of people miss that point as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great passage and a great truth that we learn from the Old Testament, that God wants obedience first. That's before and above sacrifice. And so, but the point, the passage in Hebrew is, in Hebrews is key because again, notice the text says that Moses said nothing about the tribe of Judah. He didn't specify being sinful to try to occupy the priesthood if you're from the tribe of Judah. The only thing that happened was it was specified what tribe you had to be from, the tribe of Levi. And so this idea of the silence of Scripture, this is huge. This is huge in understanding the right way and trying to rightly divide the Word of God. Taking the understanding that the silence of the Scriptures do not authorize. We would take care and handle a slew of doctrinal and religious error if we just understood that point. The silence of the Scriptures do not authorize. And if we have time, we're gonna hit that. It might be on more Bible talk before we get time to getting around to that, but we really have to deal with that. You're on Bible talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I believe what the Scriptures say. I believe that when God says to sing, that's exactly what He means. And I know He doesn't mean to play. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to encourage the listeners of this program that call in about this subject to go back and, I mean, it's always good to get, you know, a historical view as well, because I went back and I did some research, and just about everything that I found, now you can find anything on the Internet that's going to say what you want to hear, but the overwhelming information that was out there historically was that there were not musical instruments in the church.
Yes.
And, you know, I even saw where these were denominational preachers that were, you know, against any type of music being brought in the church. They talked about it. And so this isn't something new. I mean, God said what He said, and He meant what He said. But, you know, if you never take the time to go back and even look and see, you know, what was going on in the first century church, you know, you'll stay stuck on this issue.
Yes.
I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And appreciate that call. And the number, of course, is 571-1240. If you have a question, our time is just about out now, just a couple of minutes. But, of course, coming right up after Bible Talk is more Bible Talk, and we'll continue on for another half hour. But the caller makes a great point. There's no question. It's not even debatable whether or not they had musical instruments in the first century church. We could quote 15 right before me. I have several quotes from music historians to let us know that in the first century church, they did not use the musical instruments. We have Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias that tell us exactly when it was brought into the religious world. We know for a fact that they didn't use them in the first century. That's not even debatable. But she raises up another good point that even years after these man-made denominations were brought forth, even some of their leaders opposed the musical instrument. Like John Calvin, who founded the Presbyterian Church, he opposed musical instrument. And Adam Clark, who's one of the greatest Methodist commentators who has ever lived, he opposed the musical instrument. And John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, he opposed the musical instrument. And Martin Luther, who founded Lutheranism, he opposed the musical instrument. And so it is true. You go back and do the research, and chances are, if you're listening, whatever denomination or church you're a member of, if you do the research, you'll find that not all that long ago, that the church that you're a part of, was at one time opposed to the musical instrument. Now, that doesn't prove anything. What proves it all is the Bible. That God said sing, and we must sing. He hasn't authorized playing, so we must not play. And that's just the way that is. If we understand Bible authority, we'll do that. Now, we don't have time to go to the line, but if you're on the line, just hang in there. More Bible talk is coming right back up. Chris will be right back on the air in just a moment. And we certainly appreciate those who have listened to Bible Talk. Remember, Bible Talk is a radio program produced by the South End Church of Christ. 4001 Taylor Boulevard is where they're located. They would love for you to come out and visit with them. Even on tomorrow, they'll have a worship service at 7:30, Bible study and classes for all ages. They would love for you to come out and be with them. And now we pray that you'll have a great day.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, a work of the South End Church of Christ. The South End Church of Christ meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard in Louisville, Kentucky. Visit us on the World Wide Web at southendchurchofchrist.com. And be sure to tune in each weekday at 2 p.m. for more Bible Talk.
Welcome to More Bible Talk. More of your Bible questions. More Bible-based answers. More of the Bread of Life. More Bible Talk is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We meet at 4401 West Broadway. And now your host, Don Wright.
Hello and welcome again. I hope that you have continued to listen. If you were listening to Bible Talk, if you've just tuned in to More Bible Talk, we want you to know this is a program produced and provided by the West End Church of Christ. And we certainly appreciate that you have tuned in. We meet at 4401 West Broadway, and we have services every Lord's Day beginning at 10 o'clock for Bible study. Then we have a worship service at 11 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock every Lord's Day evening. We also have a Bible study on tomorrow night. We'll have our Wednesday night Bible study, which begins at 7 o'clock. And we have classes for all ages at that time. And we would love for you to come out and be with us. You'd be our honored guest. Right now, we're asking the question in our Bible class, what is a Christian? And very, very important that we know what a Christian is. There's some misunderstanding, as we have found even on this radio program here last week. We were talking about it. A lot of misunderstanding on what exactly constitutes a Christian. So we're talking about that in our Wednesday night the Bible study. That will be tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You'd be our honored guest at the West End Church of Christ, and so we would love to see you. Joining me on the program is Chris Peltz. He's a faithful gospel preacher, doing a great job and has for many years in preaching the gospel. He's in Denver, Colorado. He used to preach here at the Taylorsville Road Church of Christ for several years, and so he's known to this area. Chris, it's good to have you.
Appreciate it, Don. I'm looking forward to this half hour, and continuing our discussion. Whatever else the callers have to ask, we'll be happy to address from the Word of God.
Yes, sir. And we do have someone on the line. Appreciate so much that you have been patience and waiting for us. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, I've been holding from the previous program.
Yes.
And I've listened to you all discuss, and you talk about sin and authorization. But one thing you really got to realize, I mean, first of all, I'll say if you don't want to have instruments in your church, that's fine, because, like I said before, that's not a heaven or hell issue. But what you got to understand all through the Bible, when there's a sin, God specifically specifies the sin. There's no way that you can find in the scriptures where there was a sin and God didn't specify it being sinful, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And as far as if musical instruments were sin, just think about it. Just use common plain sense. Think about it. If it was a sin on earth, they wouldn't be in the 14th chapter of Revelation worshiping God with it.
All right. Yes, they would if it wasn't forbidden. But we'll talk about your comment.
Okay. Can I say this right quick?
All right. Very
Hello?
Quickly.
Okay. You're saying it's forbidden. Whenever there's a sin, God tell you don't lie. God tell you don't steal. Whenever a sin that will send you to hell, God specifically lets you know. God is not going to leave you in the blind when it comes to heaven and hell.
So
now, what God does allow. Let me say this right quick. I apologize. Let me say this right quick. What God does allow men to, you have certain convictions and certain things that we do and say that our own personal convictions. But as far as sin, God specifically lets us know when it's a sin. Now, in that particular scripture you're talking about, He didn't say that it's a sin to play an instrument. All they're doing is specifying that they're singing. And one thing you got to understand about doing the first century church, they were also, during that time, they were what? That there was persecution going on. And if you played instruments during that time, you could easily have been found.
All right. We'll comment on all of that.
Happy to address that.
All right. Appreciate it. And Chris, some of those slots are quite amazing that I just can't believe that someone, we've talked about this before, that basically it is thought that the first century church was filled of Christians who were afraid to praise God openly and publicly. But we have exposed that idea several times on this program. Recently, we made the point. Here's where the caller was wrong so far as that point is concerned. Is that in the first century church, they did not have to worship God underground. Get that in your mind. I don't know how people have come to that conclusion. They're not looking at the history of the thing, I guess. But the church worshiped God openly and publicly. Yes, there came a time when they fell under Roman persecution where such was the case, that their lives were in danger. But in the first several chapters of Acts and going on into the early years of the church, they weren't worried about that. Their persecution was at the hands of the Jews, and there was some danger involved in that. But we have examples, like in Acts chapter 2, of them worshiping publicly and openly. And so that whole theory is just wrong, Chris.
Yeah, how do you think they sang? I mean, congregational singing, you get a couple of folks together and start singing songs and praise to God, you know, you're not whispering. You know, you're lifting your voice in praise to God. That's going to be heard. There's no doubt about that. And so that's not something that was done in silence. It's not something that was done in secret. It was something that was done vocally. And that certainly would be heard. And you know, it amazes me too, the idea, and this is, it's unfortunate that it is out there and so many people are embracing this idea that if it, just because it's unauthorized doesn't mean that it is sinful. The scriptures do teach that if something is unauthorized, that in fact it is sinful. You know, Matthew chapter 7, you know, verses 21 through 23, there Jesus says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. But notice verse 22 and 23. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But what does Jesus say that they were doing? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness or iniquity. And so they were involved in sin. They were not, and why they were involved in sin is because they weren't doing God's will. And so not doing God's will is sinful.
That's exactly
right. And so what is unauthorized is sinful.
Yes, great point, Chris. And I hope the listener was sincerely listening to the point you were making there. Because, and I'm saying this as nicely as I can, you're just wrong about this idea that something has to be specified by God in order to be sin. I hope you change your view on that. You're just wrong. That's something you have thought up yourself. You don't read that from you don't get that from the Word of God. It's ludicrous to conclude. You don't establish right and wrong and authority in that way in any walk of life. I think I've brought this up to you before. You've made that point on this program, and you don't even raise your own children if you have children. In that way, there's absolutely no way that we can do anything that God doesn't specifically say is sinful. That's just wrong. Can we serve cake and ice cream on the Lord's supper because on the Lord's table because God never said that that was specifically sinful? Of course not. You are opening up the door far wider than you would ever want it to be open if you're going to take that approach, and it's just a misunderstanding of how you establish authority, not just Bible authority, but authority in every walk of life. Silence never authorizes. And let me quickly, well, we have someone on the phone. I want to give an illustration of this with regard to how to establish Bible authority, because I think some people will be able to understand and relate to it. But before we go to the caller, just understand this idea that everything's okay unless God specifically said it is not and specifically says it is sinful is just wrong. And you don't establish authority like that in any walk of life. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes. My name is Philip. I'm a new student at Simmons College. And so I did some research concerning mechanical instruments. And so I asked my elders, and it seemed like they all concurred that it would be all right to have mechanical instruments. And then I went further, because this particular topic has been brought up over the past 2 months on this program. So I called other schools and went online and continued to put that question out there concerning mechanical instruments.
Yes.
Well, all of them as a whole were in agreement that instruments are allowed. Now, take this for example. Now, we have the authorized...
What kind of Bible did they give you? What verses did they give you in the New Testament?
All right. That's what I'm getting at. Now, we have
make it quick now, because we need questions. We don't need commentary.
Okay. You go to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. It says it at the very beginning of that chapter in the first few verses, and it talks about the time of worship, and it names the individuals. And it also goes as far as saying that they prophesize with musical instruments. Now, prophesizing is a gift from God. Now, we talk about the law, the Old Testament, and also I have found out.
Now, what's your question with this?
Actually, that the law was actually put out and authorized in the first five books when the books are.
But I got the direction you're going.
Okay,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Read 1 Chronicles, the first three verses,
okay, we
chapter
will.
25, and it says that they prophesize with musical instruments.
Okay,
so
we got
I can see that as saying that it's allowed, and
okay.
Even in
all
worship.
Right. All right,
yeah,
we got you.
We can address that. Well, no problem.
We appreciate you calling. But here's the thing. I appreciate you calling, but did you forget you brought that up last week or the week before? And this is about the fourth time you brought up, and every time we get in the discussion of musical instruments, you go back to 1 Chronicles. Are you even listening to the response that we're given to you? We're not under that old law. Now, you have to grasp that. I don't care how many elders you talk to. It doesn't matter how many people. What you need to do, sir, is make up in your mind that you're going to first put the Bible first before all of these elders that you evidently keep talking to and keep telling you, heading you in the direction of the Old Testament. Listen, we love you, but the fact of the matter is the Old Testament isn't our law. Did they give you a New Testament passage that showed us the first century church using the musical instrument, commanded to use the musical instrument, or any passage that even implied that they used the musical instrument? Of all of the people, of all of the books, of all of the internet sites, of all of the elders, of all of the theologians you evidently have talked to, not one of them has ever given you a passage in the New Testament to show the first century church using or commanded to use or even implying that they ever used the musical instrument. Now, you need to change your approach to this. Bible authority is serious business, and we're under the law of Christ. That's the authority that you need. Not anything from 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles or 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel or Psalms or any of the Old Testament books. Not because those aren't great books. They're inspired, but they are directing people who are under a different law. We're under the law of Christ. And again, you, every time you call, you bring up the same things. Bring up something new. Give us a reason to reconsider what we're teaching. But nothing that you have said refutes the plain truth that the first century church did not use the musical instrument. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, there are three passages that I want to bring up quickly. First one is in Matthew chapter 23,
when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees in front of all the people, he first of all, he told them that when they sit in Moses' seat, you can listen to them. And what the point that he is making there is that when they speak according to the Word of God, listen to what they say. But then don't do as they do, because they were going and practicing things other than what God had specified. Now, here's this gentleman. He is going to all these professors, all of these people, and he's asking them questions, the elders, the professors. He's asking all these people all these questions. They, well, you know what? You know, they've concluded that it's okay. Well, listen, don't do as they do. You know, look at what the Word of God says. That's what Jesus was telling everybody about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. The second passage I want to bring up is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. There, Paul, he marveled that they had turned so quickly from him who had called them into the grace of God to another gospel, which is not another. And he goes on to explain that if anyone teaches you or tells you anything other than what I have delivered unto you, let them be accursed, anathema. In other words, and this goes to the caller, you know, two callers ago, if they teach something other than what's been delivered, folks, that is sin.
That's right.
It is unauthorized, and Paul says if they teach something that's not been delivered, that's not in the inspired text of our King Jesus, it is sinful. And one more passage, I'll bring it, and I'll turn it back over to you, Don. And that's Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. And before I quote that passage, I want to ask the callers a quick question, and that's this. Mechanical instruments, as we've established, and no one has refuted, the New Testament church did not use it. It was not a part of the doctrine of Christ. All right, so here's the question, and this goes to Matthew 21 that you talked about on Aaron's program as well. If it's not from God, who's it from? Mechanical instruments in New Testament worship is a doctrine of men, not a doctrine of Christ. And Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says that our worship is in vain if we are teaching as doctrine the commandments of men and not the commandments of God. Folks, mechanical instruments in worship today in the church is a command of men or a doctrine of men. It is not of God, and so if you do it, your worship is in vain. Therefore, it is a matter of whether or not we will be acceptable and entered into heaven, or whether or not we will be condemned to a devil's hell.
That's right. And listen, how we worship God is an issue of the soul. It does have eternal implications to it. The idea that we're talking about something that doesn't have a part and whether or not we're right with God is just wrong. And we'll perhaps have a chance to talk about that more. I want to look at this idea of specific authority and when something is unauthorized a little bit further, but our calls are just streaming in, so we appreciate you calling. You're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yeah, like I said, this subject has been going on for about the past 2 months. You know, there's a lot of lost souls out here, and I feel like, you know, there should be more emphasis about, you know, what can a person do to be saved or be a better Christian. There should be more topics on that and more conversation on that. Now, you have the authority on this radio program to gently and nicely let a brother know, look, we've talked about this subject before. I need to let you go. You need to use your authority on this program, because, you know, the lines are getting backed up about these questions about musical instruments. Thank you.
I appreciate that, and appreciate you letting me have my authority on the program. And I have the authority to come to the conclusion that this is a very important subject. Though we didn't bring it up today, Chris, this
yep.
was something that was brought up. In fact, most of the time it is brought up by callers, but we go with the flow. And because we believe sincerely with all of our heart that this is an issue that has some implications so far as the salvation of the soul is concerned, when it does come up, we're not just going to brush it off. Now, we'll have plenty of time, and if you listen to this program regularly, we deal with how you become a Christian and God's plan of salvation all the time. Guess what? We get just as many calls who get upset with not agreeing with what the Bible truly teaches about how you become a Christian. So we deal with all of that. But someone raised the question today, brought it up, and we're glad to pursue it because it does relate to the issue that I did want to talk about, and that is Bible authority. Because a lot, listen, if you're doing things without Bible authority, your soul is in jeopardy. Colossians 3 and at verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That's a command, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you do, whatever you preach, whatever you practice, whatever you do in word or deed, you have to do by the authority of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, Chris, we just have to connect the dots. If you don't have authority for what you do, whatever you're doing is sinful. It will keep you out of heaven. And that's just the truth. Now, some people may not agree with that, but there's too many passages that teach us that's the case. 2 John verse 9, that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. You don't think this is a serious issue of the soul? When you go beyond the doctrine of Christ and use the musical instrument, John said, you have not God. So this is serious, serious business, and we're not going to just sweep it under the rug. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Okay, I'm calling back, and I know I can only call twice. What you all used didn't even qualify your statement, because when Jesus was teaching, they knew what the will of God was. Jesus hadn't come yet, so they had to abide by the law. So a number of the things that he used didn't justify anything what you all said. I know you're trying to shoot me down.
No, I'm not. Listen.
Do we have law today?
Yes, you do. And the law specifically tells you what to do and what not to do.
Okay. Do we have to abide by that law?
Yes. Okay. Answer this question for me. Is it a sin to lie?
Yes.
Is it lying in heaven?
Is there lying in heaven?
Correct.
Of course not.
Is it stealing in heaven?
But let me ask you.
Answer my question.
Listen.
See where you're going.
Listen.
Answer my question. I'm going to answer
your question by asking you a question.
Okay, please do.
Do you, or at least get some clarification. Do you really believe that whatever God doesn't specifically say is sin is not sin? Do you really believe that?
Correct. If God says this, if God specifically tells you,
so we can. So in the church you go to, you can use cake and ice cream on the Lord's table.
Give me a scripture. Give me a scripture where you can justify what you just said, because the scriptures you gave does not justify that, because they knew the will of God. That's why Jesus specifically said that to them. And as far as when Paul was talking, when he told them that you've fallen away from that grace, he was talking about grace. He said, "Why? Who hath bewitched you that you've been fooled? When you start doing those things under the law, and you've fallen away from the grace of God. And the grace of God is what? Unmerited favor." But he was trying to get them to.
Okay, but answer my question. Can we or can we not use cake and ice cream on the Lord's table?
You know what? In that case like that, if you use cake and ice cream from your heart, it wouldn't be a sin, because the Bible...
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Let me say this. This is all Jesus commanded us to do. He said, as often as you do it. Now,
okay.
If Jesus said, as often as you do it, and they did it on a specific day like you all said it is, all they were doing is, all the scripture was doing in Acts is showing that this specific day is when this group of people
all right.
can do it.
We've given you your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Listen, here, does anyone agree with that? Is there anyone listening? You may not even agree, but his position leads to the consequences of the idea that God has to specifically say something is sinful in order for it to be wrong. He had no choice but to say, yes, you could have cake and ice cream on the Lord's table. Once he takes the position, if God doesn't specifically forbid it, then it's not sinful. But does anyone else really believe that that is true? God did specify not only the day in which we're to partake of the Lord's Supper, but the emblems as well. What it is to be made up of, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, that's specified. Now, he believes, because he is wedded to his doctrine, that it's okay to exchange the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine with cake and ice cream. Did you see how he had no choice but to say that's okay? Who else, Chris, would believe that that's okay?
Yeah, you know, he was consistent. There's no doubt about it, but he was consistently wrong. Jesus talking about New Testament worship in John 4 and in verse 24, because he talks about the day is coming, talking about the time in the church, he said that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit, but he didn't stop there. He said must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, that truth means something. That truth, Jesus said, is the Word of God. We must worship according to His Word. and we will be judged by that word. He was very specific with that. And so are we going to accept the fact that not only the right attitude, but according to Bible authority, we are going to worship him? Because without that, it's condemned.
Right.
You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, Paul, by inspiration of Jesus, said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." But then he explained why. Because there will be some who will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, listen, what is he doing? He is condemning any other doctrine, any other teaching other than what has been delivered. People will bring up preachers and teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. People want to hear mechanical instruments is all right. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, by inspiration of Jesus, says that is wrong, and that which means it is sinful.
That's right. And so far as, you know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that's just as clear as can be and stands. That if you don't do God's will, you have to be a doer of the will of God in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what this idea is, what was trying to be accomplished by saying they knew God's will. Don't we know God's will today? Of course we do.
Yeah.
We might be under a different law today. We're under the law of Christ, but don't we know what the law of Christ says? Can't we understand the law of Christ? Ephesians 3, and at verse 3, Paul said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." You know what that knowledge in the mystery of Christ was? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what the gospel is? It's God's will for us to follow and obey today. We know God's will today if we'll study our Bibles. Now, there's a lot of people that don't know the will of God because they're not studying their Bibles. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 said, "Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So I'm not quite sure where he was heading, Chris, with that one. But the fact of the matter is we know God's will, and we better obey God's will. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Oh, yeah, I disagree with the last caller. I think he knows, because back in the past, from time to time, he called you. That's the same voice. I know it's distinctive voice tell you about, every time you talk about it, there's no tongue speaking, there's no more, it's true, it's no tongue. And Faith Hill, one time, you said, "Well, since it's, I'm going to set you up so we can meet someplace and show me where you can take and raise the dead and speak in tongues with no interpreter and people understand and stuff." And the next time, look up, he hung up. I remember that time in 06, and all doing 06 most of the time, he'd been doing that. And he knows, if God don't need in the Bible, tell you don't supposed to do it when they're silent, it's a sin. And I think he knows, some people just want to argue and try to change God's word, and they know they're a failure in a denominational church, so they want to argue because you got the truth, and they just, they've been used to told lies to when you tell them the truth about God, well, they just can't accept it. I used to be like that. I'm going to tell you, I was one like him. But I know the truth, and once you learn the truth, you'll do better, if you want the truth.
All right, appreciate your call. And let's just touch, our time is about gone, but, you know, this business of lying, is lying a sin? Of course it is. Chris, this goes back to, again, a misunderstanding that we have already clarified. Musical instruments, if they were to have them in heaven, we believe that all of those passages that talk about musical instruments in heaven are figurative. Just like the golden bowl and all of that. But even if there were physical instruments in heaven, nobody is saying that the musical instrument itself is sinful. That's why it is possible, at least, for a musical instrument to be in heaven. It's not inherently sinful. He raised a question about something that is inherently sinful. Lying is a sin from beginning to end. White lie, black lie, it's a sin. So, you know, he's just trying to trap us with that, but it's nonsensical to bring it up. Musical instruments in the church are sinful, not because they're inherently sinful, but because they go against what God specifically commanded. Go ahead very quickly, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the point we need to understand. That when God has revealed his will, we need to be interested in serving him. He's the one who sent his son to die on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven as we obey the gospel of Christ. And so we need to be serving him, pleasing him. And if it's not pleasing to him, we should want to distance ourselves, get away from that. And we need to understand that if it's the commands of men, that it's sinful.
Yes, appreciate that. And appreciate you joining us, Chris. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds great. I've enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
And we appreciate all you who have listened and those of you who have called and participated in More Bible Talk. It's your calls, even if you disagree with us, it's your calls that make the program and give us an opportunity to teach the Word of God in this program. Remember, this program is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We meet every Lord's Day at 10 o'clock for Bible study, and then at 11 o'clock for worship and 5 o'clock for another worship every Lord's Day on tomorrow. Our doors will be open at 7 o'clock. We'll have a Bible study for all ages, and we would love for you to come out and check us out. 4401 West Broadway is where we're located, and we hope that we'll see you at any or all of our services. Now we pray that you'll have a blessed day.
You have been listening to More Bible Talk with Don Wright. Be sure and listen Tuesdays and Thursdays for More Bible Talk, brought to you by the West End Church of Christ at 4401 West Broadway.